The main outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your way. So get outside and find it in the main outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the main outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the main outdoors.
Welcome to the main outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, and good evening, one and all. And we welcome you to Maine Outdoors, Maine's longest-running, most durable outdoor program, radio program in the state of Maine. We're so glad you could be with us tonight. And as you know or should know, we are a talk show. That means we can accept your calls, and we welcome your input and your points of view. And if you'd like to call us tonight, we have a statewide toll-free number, which is
1-800-966-1039.
And that's anywhere in the world, right?
Anywhere in the world. Just dial the whole number, even if you're local. Dial the whole number.
Even if I'm in Bangor?
Bangor, Brewer, yeah. Milford, whatever,
1-800-966-1039.
All
right. That's the number. Jot it down so you won't forget. We have a good show lined up tonight, as we do every week, and we're going to introduce our two studio guests in just a moment. But first, the crew who make the show possible every week. The engineer, the man behind the controls and the gauges and the toggle switches in there in Studio B, Mr. Jim Layton. Take a bow, James.
Well, good evening, folks. Pull up a chair, grab a cup of coffee or whatever, and we've got a great show lined up for you tonight.
And to his right is the sweetheart of Grand Lake Stream, the man, the chili king, Mr. Norm Plord. Take a bow, Norm.
Good evening, Paul. How you doing?
And where's Scotty? Did he disappear?
He's right here.
Well, I can't see him.
He's sitting.
He's hiding behind the booth there.
Right.
And
right.
The Baron, the Raspberry King of Orrington, Mr. Scotty Bates, our third. Actually, I don't know which one of you got. One of our assistant engineers. Take a bow, Scotty.
Yes.
Are the raspberries ready, Scotty?
The raspberries all gone by now.
Oh, no. Have they really?
Yeah.
I guess it's almost blackberry time now.
But,
yeah.
No, blueberries.
Blueberry, yes. And blackberry.
Diane's picking blueberries on the islands right now as we speak. Okay, introduce our guests. We have two studio guests, and Bob Wunjenik from the VZ Salmon Club is with us tonight, and he's brought a guest. I'm going to have him introduce his guest. Bob, first of all, nice to have you here.
Always good to be here, Paul.
And who's your guest?
Our guest is John Panola, the Shad Man from Madison, New Jersey.
The Shad Man. Welcome, John.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to be here.
Nice to have you here. And I don't think we've ever had a guest named the Shad Man before, have we?
Not that I can recall.
No. We're going
well, there's only one Shad Man.
So. Only one Shad Man. All right. And we're going to learn a lot about shad tonight, which are going to be the fish of the future, I guess, in the mighty Penobscot River. Stay tuned. I think you'll find it informative and interesting. Right now, though, it's time
to introduce your co-host.
Oh, did I forget you again?
You did last time, too.
Oh.
slap
my face. I guess it's because we sit so close. I don't know why.
Maybe that's it. Yeah,
and my peripheral vision on my left side is not as good as usual.
I know.
My co-host, a registered master guide, an author of some great fishing books, and a man who is a sartorial delight with always has a new shirt on every week, my friend, Mr. Trout Bobbling.
Wow. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Didn't I make up for that?
Boy, I sure did. That's right.
Introduction.
All right.
All right. Nice to have you here. Now, that's everybody, right?
Yep. He's even got his woolly bugger hat on.
He's got his woolly bugger hat on. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Right now, though, before we get to our guests, Bob Wunjenik and John Panola, we have Outdoor Digest brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. And I wanted to, my sales manager wanted me to remind you folks, if you're looking for some type of part-time employment, he's recruiting now for part-time advertising salespeople, and we give generous commissions and we train you. So if you're getting bored sitting there watching Jeopardy every day on the TV and you want to make a little extra money and you're interested in learning the advertising game, we would welcome you to give my partner Vic Morin a call during the week at 732-4880, 732-4880. Give Vic a buzz if you're interested in talking about possible employment with the Northwood Sporting Journal. Last chance for DOE permits. We've been telling you about this for two or three weeks, but this is the week. The applications must be submitted by midnight this Wednesday night, which is August 15th. And remember, this year they're giving out more permits, I think, than they have in the history of the state. 84,000 permits will be issued for does this year. So if you're interested in submitting for your doe permit, you must do it online. No more hard applications in the mail.
That's the most ever, too, isn't it, Paul?
Most ever, you bet.
That's right.
So anyway, you have until midnight, so you can go to the website for Fish and Wildlife, which is www.mefishwildlife.com, I think it is.
That's right.
Did I say that right?
You sure did.
Okay, check it out, and remember, if you don't do it by midnight Wednesday night, you're out of luck. Let's see, what else? Bob's going to do his fishing report in just a second. I just want a quick travel log. Not going to drag this out. I know it gets boring when they show you the slides. I'm not going to bore you with all my photos, but I just want to tell you folks, I had a chance to go out to Alberta with Diane and drive around through Banff National Park. And I just want to tell you, I could not believe the mountains out in that country. If you've never seen them, the Canadian Rockies are absolutely breathtaking. And I've seen some big mountains in the U.S., but I never saw anything like this in my life. We did a fast trip. It was like a seven-day trip. We slept in a little two-man tent and ate on a little one-man burner, instant oatmeal, you know, the whole 9 yards. And it gets to be old after about 2 or 3 days. But we made it through.
And ready for a shower.
Oh, yeah. You get kind of ripe after three or 4 days. But we had a great trip, and I want to tell you, commend to you, the Canadian Rockies are something very, very special.
I've heard that.
They are.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess it's time now for Bob's music.
I'm a big boss bass.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah.
These are my reeds.
Oh, you guys are so talented. So talented.
Yeah.
What's going on in the fishing world?
Well, I ran into your son this week before he took back off on his trip for flights.
Did you do much damage?
You know what he called this past 2 weeks?
What?
Fishing doldrum time.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's been hot and
the dog days of summer.
Yep. And the trout have snuck into the shade and the spring holes, so forget it unless it's a rainy downpour.
Yep.
And but you can catch salmon. My son's been catching them down to Yorra Lake.
I was kind of surprised to hear that earlier. Yeah.
But of course he waits until late in the day to get out of the heat and stuff. And of course that's the time they bite too. You know.
Yeah.
You know he waits until dusk, probably around 7:30, and fishes for an hour and a half. Comes in. Of course it's dark when he comes in, but he has real good luck.
That's amazing.
He fishes deep. You know, 4 or 5 colors, lead line, and he knows the spots. You got to know the spots.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah, and you talked about catching togue this time of year.
Yeah, I don't. I used to be an avid togue man. My dad loved to togue fish. So we'd go out and put the lead line out with a Murray spoon, go down, you know, like 10 colors, and it's like dragging 20-pound weight, you know. But you do catch togue. Problem is, my better half is not that crazy about togue eating.
No, they aren't.
I don't catch that many anymore.
Some people bake them, I guess. I don't ever fry one.
That's the way to go. Bake them.
bake them.
Or smoke them.
You like smoked
toad? After they've all done, Jimmy, you throw them away and drink the gravy.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's what I was talking to Jerry Levine. I meant to catch one of those big slab-sided greasy togue and take it up to Jerry to smoke it.
Absolutely outstanding.
They're good that
way. Have you had it that way?
Yes, I have.
I think it would be good.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll try that.
Yeah, good.
Maybe I'll do that. I'll go catch one of those things.
I wish you would.
Take it up to Jerry and get him to smoke it.
Barbecuing them is very good.
Is it?
Yeah, I put a couple of ice cubes in the center.
Yeah.
You know, open them up, put the ice cubes in there, wrap them in bacon, put them in tinfoil, put them on the burner about 20 minutes.
What do the ice cubes do?
They help steam it.
They're not
greasy.
Oh,
never heard that.
They're not greasy. All the grease goes out, and they're a little drier. They're delicious. They taste like trout.
Yeah, so you throw the togue away and eat the ice cube.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All
right. No, I've done that many times.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to catch one, take it up to Jerry, get a smoke.
Do that.
Okay, anything else, Robert?
No, that'll wrap it up for this week.
Okay, thank you for that report.
I appreciate it.
We always appreciate your report. And that wraps up. Did you have anything, Jim?
No, the only thing I can tell you is that those white perch are biting like crazy over the pond.
Now, that's something.
If anybody's into white perch, head for a field spawn because they're everywhere.
That's good to know.
And what's that other fish that you got in there?
Bass.
No. The ones the imports.
Yeah, that looks like a heifer. They're black and white.
Yeah.
Crappie.
Yeah. Well, we don't call them
crappies.
They call them crappie.
Crappies.
Don't ever say crappie to us.
Yeah, they get some good size crappie in there, too. Yeah, a lot of them.
Okay.
Well, those are great. They say they're good eating, too.
Yeah, right.
Stan?
White perch are great. Just hate to clean them.
Oh, John.
Yeah.
Awful Stan the man.
Yeah. All right. That wraps up Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. Again, our guest tonight, Bob Winjenik from the VZ Salmon Club, and his guest, his friend John Panula, Mr. Shadman from Madison, New Jersey, who's going to be speaking to the club this week. And we're going to be learning a lot about shad from John in just a few minutes. Right now, though, the gents have an outdoor trivia question. And Bob's going to read the question, and he has a gift to give to you if you have the right answer. And
what about the telephone number one more time?
1-800-966-1039, and dial a whole number if you're local.
Okay, Bob has the question.
When angling for and keeping an Atlantic salmon was legal in Maine, what was the annual ceremonial tradition for the first wild-caught Atlantic salmon on the Penobscot River?
All right, you ponder that. We'll be right back.
More Maine Outdoors next.
Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and we're waiting for you to answer our trivia question. If you have the right answer, Bob and John are going to give you a beautiful collection of shad lures. And some bright stuff here, some darts and some other colorful lures. And he's waiting for you to tell him who the...
Okay, we have Dave.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, the first salmon used to be presented to the President of the United States.
That is absolutely correct.
All right. Congratulations. Yeah. You've won the package of shad lures. Do you know who the last president was to receive the Atlantic salmon presentation?
I would say maybe the first Bush, I take a guess. It might maybe Clinton, but I'm thinking Bush 41.
Bush, yeah, the elder Bush, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the correct answer, isn't it, Bob?
That is absolutely correct. Yeah. It was in 1992.
Yeah. Yep, there you go. Well, perhaps I can get some of these shad lures and go down the Narragansett River and catch a shad, bring it down to Donald Trump.
Are the shad running down there?
Well, they do. I don't know if they are right now, but there's some big ones that...
There are, yeah. Yeah. Do you live down in that neck of the woods?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Washington County, yeah.
Well, good for you. Well, we're going to mail these out to you and give them a shot. I think you'll be pleased with the results. A little bit of side trivia. Do you know who the president was that refused the Atlantic salmon?
I don't.
I think his name was... I think his initials were B.C., right? Or William Clinton. I didn't know that, according to Bob here. Bob knows his
history. Yeah, the last year that was possible to give it to the president, there was no acknowledgement by the president at all, and they did not receive the salmon.
Yeah. No, oh, that's too
not
bad.
Not surprised, I guess I'll say. But
I guess he didn't like fish, huh?
Well, that's the king of fish right there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, congratulations. If you stay on the line, one of the gents in the engineering studio will get your address, and we'll make sure you get these shad darts.
Okay, fine. It's going. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Okay. Good question, good answers. Let's get down to business here. Bob, let's start out with you. For those who may not be familiar, tell our folks at home a little bit about the VZ Salmon Club and what's going on there, would you?
Well, the VZ Salmon Club was formed in 1978, and they built the VZ Salmon Club clubhouse in 1980-81 by selling lifetime memberships. And it was all done by hand, by local labor. And since 1980, the VZ Salmon Club was in continuous existence with a membership capped at 350 members with a waiting list year after year after year because salmon fishing and other kinds of fishing was so popular with the VZ Salmon Club. And just a little bit more trivia, the Eddington Salmon Club and the Penobscot Salmon Club on the river are brother and sister clubs. Also had 350 member limit and a waiting line. I had to wait 6 months to get into the VZ Salmon Club myself. Somebody really? Had to either quit or pass away, unfortunately, in order to get in. So it was the beginning of the legacy of the Penobscot River was to have organized historical fishing and the camaraderie of the salmon fishing membership. And it was an honor to be a member of the salmon clubs at the time. And so the salmon clubs were continuously operating, but when the salmon fishing was curtailed due to the Endangered Species Act in the 1990s, interest kind of dropped off. And ironically, a lot of people didn't understand that salmon fishing wasn't just about standing out in the river and hooking a salmon and landing it. Salmon fishing is a spectator sport in the Penobscot. When one person would be down in the river angling for a salmon, when one was hooked, someone in the VZ Salmon Club would ring a loud bell. And then everyone in the salmon club and was hanging out would line the porch rails, cheering the person on. So there were 20 or 30 people watching that event. So really a spectator sport, because many of the people at that point in time in the 80s and early 90s weren't even able to fish anymore because they couldn't wade in the water. But their memories of the past were so strong, and they just lived to see someone else successful in hooking an Atlantic salmon. Whether they landed it or not was irrelevant. And so that was the important thing about the salmon camaraderie on the Penobscot and the history. And unfortunately, when the salmon fishing ended, the spectator sport ended. And a lot of people basically gave up. And the people who did nothing but live to be at the VZ or Eddington Salmon Club or Penobscot Salmon Club to watch what was happening or participate in it, unfortunately, are not with us anymore.
Do you remember the days when, Bob, I'm sure you do, when I used to go over there and you'd queue up and get in the rotation to get your chance to get in at one of the pools to cast?
Oh.
And then there would be a whole bench of people who were like kibitzes that would sit there and critique your casting and so forth.
They called it rotate.
I always felt self-conscious.
They called it rotate.
Yeah, rotate.
Rotate
yeah.
the pool, yeah.
Rotate the pool.
Rotate the pool.
And if you stayed there too long, you begin to get a little stuff from the bench, right?
Yes, right.
Yeah. Well, that was part of the society,
yeah.
Fishing society.
Oh, those were wonderful times, yeah. Did you ever have to stand in line to fish?
I always stand in line to fish, wait my turn.
Oh, okay.
Especially at Grand Lake Stream.
Yeah. You do there, too.
Well, actually, you have a long wait there.
Yeah. You do, yeah.
Anyway, now the VZ Salmon Club, a few months ago, unbeknownst to the members of the club, and the memberships have shrunk because of lack of salmon fishing, from over 350 members per club down to less than 50 per club. And that is not good. It's hard to pay the bills with a membership of the 50 Club. So some people who were some of the original organizers and founders of the Salmon Club thought it might be appropriate to close the club. Well, a lot of us disagreed with that. So instead of closing the club, a bunch of us had gotten together and revitalized in April the VZ Salmon Club, reorganized it, reincorporated, got a 501c3 status back as a nonprofit, and a membership drive is currently underway, and absolutely outstanding results with some really good younger people who know what a computer is versus some of us. And literally, we've had more than doubled the membership in the past few weeks, and a lot of new blood coming into the organization, and a lot of people who thought the VZ Salmon Club was defunct are saying, thank God it's alive. One person came up to me in a store, a woman who I really didn't know very well, but she came up and gave me a hug when she knew who I was because she heard me on this show a few months ago.
Yeah.
And she thanked me because she said, you know, my dad's ashes are spread on the riverbank in front of the VZ Salmon Club. And she says, my family would never have liked it if that club was closed.
Yeah.
Thank you for saving my father's gravesite.
Yeah. I think it's great. I was not a member of the club. I am now, but I wasn't then. But I always felt badly that it was going to go down the tubes, and it hasn't. That's great, and good for you guys for bringing it back. There's something happening exciting this week there, right? What's going on?
This week, we have John Panola, the Shad Man, who is a member of the VZ Salmon Club since 1998.
2008.
And been coming up to Maine just about every year. And he is probably, without a doubt, one of the world's leading experts on shad and other kinds of fishing. He has authored books on trout fishing. And he's presenting at the VZ Salmon Club this Thursday night, a PowerPoint presentation. I'll let him talk more about it. And because shad fishing is one thing you can fish for in the Penobscot, and we will bring back Atlantic salmon fishing catch and release sometime in the foreseeable future, and the bell will ring again. John Panola.
Thank you, Robert, and it's my delight to be here with such eminent gentlemen of the area, and I'm learning a lot. I'm very proud to be here, and
nice to
look forward to seeing you Thursday when I do my program.
What time is John? What time are you presenting there?
Six o'clock. We're going to have refreshments starting at 5.
Okay. And do you have to be a member to be there?
No.
Anybody can show
Anybody
up,
can
right?
Come.
It's open to the public.
Okay. Yeah. No admission?
No admission. Donations always accepted, though.
Okay. All right. Great. And that's at 6 p.m. You'll be beginning to speak at 6 p.m. at the VZ Salmon Club.
Well, I'll be speaking but also presenting because my program is visual.
Yeah.
I have 144 photos in my show.
Oh, all right. That sounds great.
And they're pretty spectacular. I get more praise for the photography sometimes than I do from the fishing.
Okay, great.
But I'll be doing that program. And when I was here last year, I did a quick program, and I made a special program for them. But this was the one that I had.
Okay.
And I could see that there was very little knowledge of shad and the river.
Well, yeah, this is all new to us. This is all new ground.
When I do this program Thursday, I'll compare it because the river where I presented this program is very, very similar to this river, and the shad are identical.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, John, and we'll be back and we'll talk about shad.
Absolutely.
Okay, you stay with us right here on Maine Outdoors.
More Maine Outdoors next.
Okay, if you joined us late, shame on you. You know we always start sharp at 7:05, so next week try to be a little more punctual. We appreciate it. Our guest tonight is, Bob Wojcinek from the VZ Salmon Club, who's been very active in helping the club resurrect itself. And also with us tonight is Bob's friend John Panola from Madison, New Jersey, who is somebody else dubbed him this name. He made it clear that it wasn't his idea. They call him the Shad Man, but there's a reason for it. And we're going to have you explain to us a little bit about shad, which most of us don't know much about up in this neck of the woods. But before you do that, John, would you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yes, I will. I'm originally a Pennsylvanian. I grew up in western Pennsylvania, the son of a fly fisherman, a fly tyer, and a rod builder. So I grew up as a trout fisherman. But along the line, I went to Robert Morris College out in Pittsburgh and got a job with a company out there that transferred me east. And I came to New Jersey, and I moved there in the spring, 1974. My neighbor wanted to be friendly to invite me to New Jersey, and he invited me to go fishing. He asked me if I knew anything about fishing, and I said, a little bit. He said, well, I'm going to take you shad fishing. And I said, what? What's a shad? He said, you'll see. It's a New Jersey fish. Okay. So he did take me fishing, and he gave me some lessons, gave me a rod and everything to use. And I thought, this is not fishing, you know. And he started fishing. He left me on the rock, and he moved away, and he started casting and casting. So finally I start jiggling around, and wham, why this shad hit this line, and I thought he was going to pull me off the rock. And I got him, and my friend Robert here will tell you, when they hit, they'll just about yank you off your shoes.
Yeah, they are fun.
They're very powerful. And this shad, we got him in the net, and I looked down at him, and it was the biggest fish I ever caught. Biggest fish I ever saw in the net like that.
So your enthusiasm level went up considerably.
Well, I said, gee, this is a new fish. I'm very interested. And I became a shad fisherman right on the spot. But also, shad season only lasts about 2 months. Yeah. So it doesn't eliminate all the other fish.
Yeah.
So I could do both. I could shad fish and trout fish during the same period. But that changed when I really got involved with it because I started writing about them and appearing and doing some other things.
So you got really serious about shad fishing.
I got really sad. I was really bitten. I was really bitten. I have a license plate on my vehicle that has one shad on it.
Yeah.
And you would be amazed how many people will come looking for me when they see my vehicle parked someplace. They will come looking to see where's the shad man. They want to talk to me and they want to take my picture.
Now, does this mean that you've abandoned trout fishing forever?
Oh, no. I trout fish.
You still trout. You still like trout, right?
Yeah. Well, our shad season is done, but I've been trout fishing the West Branch of the Delaware, which is a very famous wild trout river down there.
Now, you will have accomplished your mission if you can convince this guy that there's some other fish worth chasing besides a brook trout. If you can do that, I don't think I've ever seen you fish for anything but brookies, right?
Oh, no. I used to fish for Atlantic salmon quite a lot, and once in a while I fish for smallmouth bass. Actually, the smallmouth bass can really give you a whack, too, and fight with all those fins. I mean, they're tough.
When I stop shad fishing, I go right into smallmouths because our rivers get pretty warm, like up here.
Oh, yeah.
And the trout fishing gets pretty bad.
Yeah.
Then in September, the trout
come back,
and I start trout fishing again. Right. Yeah.
So who and why does somebody name you the Shad Man?
It was just picked up by the media, and also I was at the World Fishing Expo, was in New York there. And I was invited there, and I had a booth. And at that time, I also had other books. I've written 6 books on
fishing. Have you really?
Yes, I have.
On shad fishing?
No. Well, one on shad.
One on shad?
But the other ones are all trout-related or related to the area.
Okay.
They all went through 6 printings, every one of them.
Oh, wonderful.
And I had a booth there, and when they were describing people at the show to visit, they picked me out and said the Shad Man. I mean, they simply named me the Shad Man.
All right,
and it stuck, and I am the Shad Man. Yeah.
All right, great. Let's talk a little bit now. Most of us who I've had a little shad experience on the Connecticut River, but
that's a great river.
It is.
Yes,
I've had some exciting times down there.
Are you aware that they have a shad museum there?
No, I had no idea.
Yes, they do.
Do they really?
And they contacted me, and I donated some of my jackets. They have a big 3x6 poster of me on the wall there.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it's in Haddam, New Connecticut, right on the Connecticut River there.
We fished one of the tributaries that ran into the Connecticut River, not that far from the river, like we were upstream a little bit. I think it was the Deerfield. I'm not sure. One of the rivers. But anyway, it's great. It's exciting, as you say.
It really is.
We caught them on ultralight equipment, and it was just a blast. We had a great time. Folks in Maine aren't familiar. Shad's a new thing, sort of. Tell us a little bit. What should we expect? Now, the river is beginning to show a few shad, right, Bob?
About 7,000 or 8,000 this year. That's the trap count.
That came through the fishway?
That's what they counted at the fishway.
They did, yeah.
Yeah. I get a report every week from them, by the way. Also, I mentioned to Bob coming down, my commission was renewed. 3 years ago, I got a letter from Washington, D.C., and they had put me on a committee on the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Agency, and they are the people that make the rules and the laws. And within that agency, they have a shad and herring council. I serve on that, and I'm the main person on there. They just renewed me for 3 more years. They extended my term.
I was glancing through your article in Fishman Magazine, which is a fine publication. Mm-hmm. Equally fine, of course, for the Northwood Sporting Journal, right, Bob?
Of course.
Anyway, I was noticing in here that apparently there used to be a commercial fishery for shad. What did they use them for?
There was a great, mostly for eating, but they used them for fertilizer and oil.
Do they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. And that's been banned altogether, right? There's no more commercial shad fishing?
No, there is not, no.
Yeah, okay.
And you can't even take them on the ocean. You can't intercept them.
Yeah. Would you eat a shad?
You know, I've had a couple pieces of shad. It's very, very delicious, but it has zillions of bones in them.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And that's the only it tastes like haddock to me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
white
Does
meat.
Does it really, yeah?
Yeah, it's yeah. white meat.
Yeah.
It's real thick.
Yeah.
There's a way of filleting them where you get little strips about that thick and about that wide and about that big out of a whole fish.
Yeah.
But they are really good eating.
Yeah.
I wonder, we have a thing in Maine where I learned back when I used to do a lot of ice fishing, you take a pickerel, you take a fillet, and then you crisscross it like you would, what's that hamburg meat, what are the cube steaks, like a cube steak, crisscross all the bones with a real sharp knife, and then you roll it, I think you soak it in canned milk for like 6 weeks. and then you roll it in batter and fry the hell out of it. And it's really pretty good.
There's a...
drink the gravy?
You what?
Throw the fish away and drink the gravy.
No, you can actually eat it after.
They had this running joke about shad where they're plank shad.
Yeah.
And you nail them on this plank and you put them next to a pit with coals where it's cooking the shad. And they nail strips of bacon on it and they say that after it cooks for a certain amount of time and you can smell it, and the juice is running, and it's getting brown. And
breaks down the bones, probably.
Yes, it does. Bones, and then you take it over and put it on a platter and take it off real close, clean it, throw it away, and you eat the wood.
Now you're getting it, right. John.
We're going to we want to give you time before we leave, John, to explain to our potential shad fishermen how to go about catching a shad. But before we do, Bob Lehman has a little commercial break he wants to share with everybody. Try to make a buck here for the radio station.
I certainly
and,
do.
Tell us about General Appliance.
Right in my formerly nicotine-stained fingers. All right now.
Tell us about General Appliance and what a great place they are to shop.
Well, it certainly is, Paul. General Appliance, of course, is located right here in Brewer, not far from Bangor, not far from where we are at the station here tonight. And they're easy to get to. Because you just cross the old bridge, take a right and a left, you're right on Center Street, and they got almost the whole block there. And they sell all kinds of camp appliances, and they're noted for their gas appliances. And, of course, they have the top-of-the-line compost toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
You got it, my boy.
and Al Elkin is he's the honcho over there. And he's a great guy to do business with, right?
He certainly is. I mean, he also has helpers, you know, other fellows who worked in. There's a nice lady working in there now. And we talked to him just the other day. My ice maker on my refrigerator has gone bluey.
Yeah.
So we called him, and they were going to send a man right over here and take care of that first of the next week.
Good.
We're looking forward to that.
Yeah, great.
But as I say, they also have, they'll fix refrigerators, they fix electric stoves, and they sell refrigerators and electric stoves, not all gas. But, of course, they also have Cervel, which is a well-known brand name, you know.
The Cadillac of camp
the
refrigerators.
The Cadillac, it certainly is, no question about it.
Yep.
And so they'll take care of you, no question about it.
Now,
and
what's the phone number there if somebody wants to call Al?
The code number is 989-3714. Stop in and give them let me tell you just a second about the compost toilets. You have no running water. You have no plumbing. You have no septic, no leach field, and no environment issues. And I'll tell you, those are the greatest rig you ever saw. I used one once. Have you ever used one?
I can tell you that I don't think I have ever spent any time on a compost toilet.
Bob has.
Boy, I
have one. He has one, he says. Yeah, right in his camp, probably.
They're great. They're comfortable.
I can't believe it's that much of an experience, well, but if you say so, I'll tell you
what. Going out in the mosquitoes, Paul.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Thrones fit for king and queen.
Oh, okay. Well,
I've got a little story to tell you. I got a phone call this week from a lady, Lorraine Parsons, way down the western part of Maine.
Right.
Years ago, she had gone to Al and got gas lights for her home.
Okay.
Well, she lost her home, not because of the gas lights, but due to an electrical problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they're building her a new home. So she called me and she says, are they still in business? I think I hear them talked about on the radio. I want these new lights that he sells, gas lights, that you don't have to light with a match. And I said, yes, I'm sure he does. And she wants a new stove from Al. So after all these years, she's building a new home. She's going back to the same guy.
Well, is that a testimonial or what?
Boy, I'll tell you what, right. Lorraine, you're all a right. sweetheart.
Okay, say no more. General Appliance and Brewer, the place to go for all of your appliance needs, period.
10-4 and over and over.
All right. Yes, let's get back to fishing, one of my favorite subjects. John, I don't know a thing about shad fishing, really, other than though I did that one time down the Connecticut River. But if I want to go up to the VZ Salmon Club and fish for shad, maybe not this year, maybe next spring, what are some of the techniques I should be aware of? How should I approach that?
Well, first of all, I'll make it clear when I do my program that this is not to replace salmon or anything like that. But you're on the river, and the shad are going right in front of the building.
So why not fish for them, right?
Why not fish for them? They're right here,
yeah,
and they're going to get very, very plentiful.
And they're big.
And they're big, and they are powerful, and they are fantastic fighters.
I never realized how big they were.
Oh, yeah. They're big. They're big.
Do you really think we'll get them here in the numbers that they have, like down on the Delaware or the Connecticut River? You think we'll really see them?
Maybe. But it didn't over, you know, it wasn't overnight down there.
Takes a while to build it up,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. See, there's two distinct things about the rivers. The Delaware is not dammed. It's free-flowing from beginning to end.
Yeah.
So it never had dams to contend with.
Okay. So they historically have had good runs there for years.
Of course. So they've had huge,
yeah.
Like this year was very good run down there. It was not uncommon for two salmon fishermen to go out in the boat and get 100 shad.
Wow.
100,
that's exciting.
That's a lot of fish. Yeah. You know, all catch and release. Yeah. They don't keep them, you know.
Yeah.
But you can fish for them either way. You can short cast. Like, I like the short cast because I'm an old trout fisherman. I want to be in the water. I want my feet in the water.
Yeah, you want to wade, sure.
I like, and 90% of my shad that I catch are short caught. And I do get invited to come on boats.
I don't understand that term. I'm sorry. Short caught, what does that mean? Shore caught. From the shore,
yeah.
I get you. Okay.
From the shoreline,
Yeah.
So it's just you're casting and retrieving. That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
But in the springtime, when these shad are coming up river, they follow the current. You don't get them in still water or dead water. They follow
they
the current lines.
Yeah.
And they stay deep in the water. So these lures are designed to get down to where they are. And you're not trying to entice them into food. It's just barrier.
Yep.
Nobody really knows. I've talked to many, many biologists, and they all concluded that...
Are they non-eaters in the spring, like an Atlantic salmon?
Yes, that is correct. They are non-eaters, yes.
Yeah. So they bite better than Atlantic salmon.
I've never caught an Atlantic salmon, so I couldn't compare
them. That's a fish of 1,000 casts. Yeah. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Oh, no. If you caught, when the shad are running and you're in the area, if you make 1,000 casts, you'll probably catch 500 shad.
Oh, my
goodness.
Do they fan in the current like a salmon, Atlantic salmon, or are they moving all the time?
They're moving.
They are moving.
They pause. They move about 9 to 10 miles per day.
Do they?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you can chart them. I tell people to get a road map that had the rivers on it and chart it each day because our shad club down there, we have a hotline, and every day we report where the shad are.
Oh, so they're bunching up in certain areas of the river.
Oh, they won't bunch up. They'll keep moving.
They will.
Yeah, they'll keep moving, yeah.
Yeah.
But... by the end of, the surge, they'll be distributed the whole river.
So shad fishermen may be chasing these fish up and down the river.
They do. They follow them. I did that. I still do. I follow them clear up into the tributaries of the river, where the great trout fishing is. If you read about the West Branch of the Delaware, it is considered the best wild trout stream east of the Mississippi, better than up here, better than anywhere.
They make reds like salmon and lay their eggs and spawn and so forth.
Yep, they're wild. There's no stocking. They do not introduce any other fish there, and you can only keep two fish a day, and they have to be like 18 inches or 16 inches.
And that's a federal law, not a state law. It's a federal.
That's a state.
That is a state law. State and, law, yeah.
I don't think we don't have a law here, do we, Bob?
On shad?
On shad, yeah. So you're limited to two a day.
Two a day is just the same, man.
No, I'm talking about trout.
Yeah, oh, trout.
The trout, yeah.
Oh, trout.
The shad on the river is regulated. I'm on that regulating board. They originally wanted to close the river.
Why regulate them if people aren't interested in keeping them? They put them back. So why? There's no limit on what you can catch, right?
Well, the problem was the Delaware had all these shad, but a lot of the other rivers didn't have any shad. So the committee that I'm on, the Mid-Atlantic committee there, they said, well, we got to find out because there's not a lot of shad in the Hudson River where there used to be a lot. So they said, we're going to close the rivers, no fishing, for 5 years, which I understand that's what they do. The scientists that they're doing this, when they do surveys, they want no fishing and so forth. And I objected to that. I said, no, no, no. You can't punish a river that has shad already. They're already there in abundance. They were agreeable. They said, okay, we'll leave it open, but we're going to put a three fish limit on it. Well, nobody even keeps three fish.
No.
Yeah.
Nobody kept three fish.
Maybe we should get John on the Atlantic Salmon Commission.
Yeah, right.
I'm a member of the Atlantic Salmon.
Oh, you are?
I'm a member, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, everybody's hollering just to be able to fish for them.
Yeah.
Not even to keep one.
I know.
Yeah.
And they pay for the fish.
Yeah. Is there, before we run out of time, Bob, was there something you wanted to?
Yes, this coming Saturday, the 18th, the VZ Salmon Club is having a public open house, which means if you've ever been a VZ Salmon Club or never been to the VZ Salmon Club or want to become a member or not, please come by. Bring the family. We want people to come in, shake hands, take a tour of the club, maybe perhaps be taught how to tie a fly. We have people teaching basic fly casting, fly lessons going on. We'll have refreshments all day from 10 in the morning to 4 o'clock at night, hot dogs, donuts, hamburgers, whatever. Somebody's making chili, I think. But
Norm Plord's not going to make chili. Because if he's making that, I'm not coming.
But whatever, just come and say hi. 30 Old County Road, which is right in the middle of VZ. Come off the main road, make the left or right at the only light, depending on if you're coming north or south. Go down to make the second right, come down to the end of the road, follow your nose to the river. And we want everybody to come just say hi, whether you want to become a member or not, see what it's all about. Take a look at the river, walk down. We're going to be loaning out fishing rods, fly rods, and spinning rods to people who never did it.
That's nice.
It's below tide line. You don't need a fishing license, freshwater fishing license.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And then rest of the year, we'll be sign up for our mailing list. You don't have to be a member. Our Facebook page is VZ Salmon Club on Facebook. If you know how to use Facebook, go for it. Like us if you will, and sign up for updates, and you'll be pleased.
Okay.
If you got a question, the number to call is 1-800-966-1039. A question for our Shad Man and for Bob Wyszynik.
Okay. How much time do we have left, engineer? Okay. 3 minutes. Before we run out of time completely, give you an opportunity, John, to plug any of your books that you care to plug. And if somebody's interested in locating you, do you have a website? How can they track you down?
They can track me down by my email address on there.
His email address, if you care to jot this down, if you're interested in maybe buying one of John's books, his email address is J, as in Juliet, J-A-P-U-N-O-L-A, J-A-Panula at AOL.com.
Now, I'll add something else.
Okay.
I've written other books, trout. I wrote them for the area because they weren't there. They're very valuable, and I'll tell you why. Last night, I went on Amazon.com. And I typed in my name, John A. Panola Fishing Books, and I hit the button, and all my books appeared on there with people bidding for them.
Oh, so they're out of print then?
They're classics.
Yeah,
they're
okay.
They're getting hundreds of dollars for my books.
Okay,
so that's the only way you can buy them. They're not. They're no longer available.
Okay, so they're not cheap, right?
No. Well, these books sold for $12.
Yeah. Well, if you want a cheap book, I've got one. It's called Maine Angler's Logbook.
I have one on Amazon. They're selling it for $300.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's, John, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
John, before we lose you, before you go,
yes.
We always ask serious anglers who fish for trout,
okay.
Change the subject a bit, what's your favorite dry fly for trout and your favorite wet fly? For brook trout. Brookies, you know.
Brookie
trout.
Well, I like...
Oh, he's thinking.
Let me think.
I can see the...
I haven't done much fly fishing for a while.
Parachute Adams.
Woolly buggers.
Woolly buggers? That's Bob's favorite, the woolly bugger.
Yeah.
Well, there's one of them.
Yeah, one among the others, yeah.
Yeah.
How about a dry fly?
They take dries. You said shad take dry flies?
Shad will take
dry flies. What do you use?
I know. I get them deep. I strictly. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Mostly deep.
Big old white wolf or something like that probably would.
Yeah.
Nab them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good to have you folks with us. I think we're almost out of time here. John, welcome back to Maine. Nice to have you here. And look forward. I hope I can make it up for your presentation. We'll see how things go with my busy schedule here at home, but I hope we can make it.
I hope to see you there.
1 minute.
All right. And good luck with that. And, Bob, good luck with the VZ Salmon Club.
Look forward to it.
I could make a suggestion. I know sometimes I've been confused trying to find the club. Could you tell us again, for people who've never been there, who are thinking, gee, I'd like to go to that show Thursday night with John Panula. If they want to get there, they go to the... They're coming north on the main highway.
Coming north on the main road in VZ. There's only one traffic light in VZ. Make a right on School Street. Make a right on Thompson, which is a second right. Go down to the end of the stop sign. Make a left, and you're going to drive right into the VZ Salmon Club. You're coming from the north, from Orono. Come down to this traffic light. Make the left, and then the second right down to the end of the road. For those with the GPS, I think it does work. I'm not sure what those things are. It's 30 Old County Road, and if you go too far, you'll go into the Penobscot River, so you'll be okay.
Okay. 30 Old County Road in VZ. This Thursday night at 6 p.m., John Panula is going to give a presentation on shad. Don't miss it. Our guest next week is going to be Maine Veterans Outfitter Paul House, who's done some wonderful things for Maine vets, and he'll be with us to tell us his story. Next week, right here on
Maine Outdoors.